Well, turning your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you know, when you think about a new year, we want to keep growing, and there's no telling what God's got for our church, and so we're so excited, and we want to make a difference for Christ. Sometimes people make this statement. They say, you know, is the Christian life hard? Well, the answer is no. It's impossible. We cannot live it in our power. It has to be live in God's power through us, and that's the only way it's possible. And so what we're going to do is, as we think about our study this morning, I've really got two things I want you to think about, okay? We're going to see our comfort, and the comfort, go ahead, go back there. I'm sorry, our comfort that God is faithful. So as we think about living for Jesus Christ this year, realize that, go back to that one, please, that God is faithful. And then the second aspect is realize we have a challenge, and that is to keep on going, and that is not to quit. And so as we start this new year, we want to think about it that way. And it's exciting, you know. At the start of a year, everything's exciting. People sit down and they think about New Year's resolutions, things they're going to do. I know this is true, that I work out 3 to 4 days a week. I've done that for 40 years. And so, but at this time of the year, when I go to the gym, all of a sudden the lockers are all taken up and all the machines, because at the start in January, all these people say, I'm going to work out and we're going to get into shape and all that. And it lasts about a month. You get back into February, all of a sudden the lockers are all there and nobody's on the machines, and because people get all excited and then they sort of fade. Well, sometimes it happens in the Christian life. You trust Jesus Christ as Savior, you have eternal life, and you're all excited and you go, man, I've trusted Christ and I'm going to heaven and all of this. And then as we go through the Christian life, it begins sort of to fade a little bit, and that we forget about the great privilege we have of living for Christ, and we live in this fallen world, and it's easy to get frustrated, it's easy to get discouraged, but we realize God has a plan for our lives. I want you to remember this. What is the story of the Bible? We've seen this over and over. The story of the Bible. The story of the Bible is the perfect God brings sinful man back to himself using his son Jesus Christ. Now this is the story of this whole book. You see this perfect God taking fallen mankind who's gone their own way, and he brings us back to himself through his son Jesus Christ, and it's by faith. And we think about that. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians for just a second, because we see this plan that God has for us. And I think if you look at verse 17, he says, you know, therefore if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature, old creature, old things have passed away, new things have come. And now he begins to give and remind us of the plan. Look at verse 18. All these things from God who has done what? Who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. God has brought us to himself through Christ. That's what we've been seeing. God reconciles us to himself through Christ. He gave us a ministry, called it the ministry of reconciliation. He goes on in verse 19 and basically says the same thing again. He says, namely, God was in Christ. God was using Jesus, bringing the world, reconciling the world to himself, not counting the trespasses against us, and has given to us the word of reconciliation. So in verse 19, God is in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. And then as we stop and think, okay, God's plan, bring man to himself through Christ. We believe in Jesus Christ as Savior because God has put it all where Jesus came and died for us, paid for sin, and rose again. We trust in Christ. Now we have eternal life. So then what do? Verse 20 says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were actually making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So as verse 20 tells us, we're ambassadors for Christ. And so we say, okay, so what's the plan? We're to live for Christ. How do we keep on going? How do we make this difference? How do we be ambassadors as you start a new year? And we all get pumped up at the start of a new year. And sometimes we even sit down and say, okay, I'm going to make some resolutions. I'm going to do some things. We say things like, I'm going to start having a quiet time, a better quiet time. I'm going to start sharing my faith. I'm going to start realizing that I'm an ambassador for Christ. Well, how do we do all that? I think that as we think about keeping on and making a difference, these two things that we've mentioned already. Realize that God is faithful and that we're to keep on going. We're not to quit. I want to remind you that there are several places in the Scripture that tells us to keep on going. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." He says, be steadfast. Be unmovable. Keep on abounding in the work of the Lord. Those are commands. He says, just keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. In Hebrews 12, he says, run the race with what? With endurance, keeping the focus on Jesus Christ. So how do we do it? Remember, God's faithful. Therefore, don't quit. Keep on going. Now, what I want you to do, we're going to do two things. We're going to see the ways that God is faithful to us, and then we're going to give some encouragement to keep on going. So let's think about God is faithful. You know, he's faithful to provide. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 13 says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. What should you fear? So he's faithful to protect us. He's faithful to provide. 2 Peter says he's faithful to supply all that we need. In fact, that verse says he has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. If we say, I want to live for Jesus Christ, and we know that in our power we can't do it, but we know God has provided everything we need so that we can live for Jesus Christ. So it's powerful, great truths for us. So we think that God is faithful. I want to show you four things. We could probably find 100, right? I want to show you four key areas that God is faithful to us, okay? A. He is faithful to fulfill his plan for our lives. Now, you know what his plan is? To save us, to make us like Christ, and to bring us to himself. Now, think about that. His plan is to give us eternal life, and then it is to help us grow to be like Christ, and then eventually for us to be with him. That's his plan. Perfect God brings sinful man back to himself using his son, Jesus Christ. I want to read a verse to you. I don't want you to have to turn there, but it's in 1 Thessalonians. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And listen to this is what he says when he talks about how he's faithful for us to do what he said. Listen to this. This is verses 23 and 24. He says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, entirely. That means set us apart for him. May your soul, your spirit, and your body be preserved complete and without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you. He will bring it to pass. Listen, his plan is to bring you to who? To himself. He's using his son, Jesus Christ. So he sent Jesus to the earth. He died on the cross. He paid for sin. He rose again. You trust in him. You have eternal life. We're here now. We're seeking to live for him. And one day, as we're being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, he will bring us to himself. Philippians says, he began a good work in you, and he will bring it to completion. So the idea there is, and that's one thing that I just want you to understand about the whole idea of security. There are some people who don't understand security, and they'll say they've trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, and you say, well, then you have eternal life, and they say, what? I hope so. And you say, no. He says, I give to you eternal life and you shall never perish. So we need to understand his plan is to bring us to himself, and he will do exactly that. So the first aspect of his faithfulness is that he's faithful to fulfill his plan for our lives. Now there's a second one. Here's the second one. He is faithful to keep his promises. Now, I could stop right here and just say, some of you give me some promises from the Bible. And you could do it. What is the promise found in John 10:28? Do you know? I give unto you what? Eternal life, and you shall never perish. Neither shall anybody pluck you out of my hand. My Father gave to me is greater than all. Nobody can pluck out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. That's John 10:28-30. That's a promise. He gives us what? Eternal life, and you shall never perish. You understand that God is faithful to keep his promises, and he promised you eternal life, and you'll never perish. 1 John 5:13, basically the same thing. These things are written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may what? That you may know? That you may know you have what? Eternal life. You don't have to doubt it. You can know you have eternal life. John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, hears my word and believes him who sent me has what? Has eternal life. We won't turn to 2 Timothy 2:11-13, but it's a famous poem. But at the very end of the poem, he says this: even if we are not faithful, he is what? Faithful to keep his promises. He always does it. Always does it. Romans chapter 4, God is faithful to fulfill whatever he promises. Hebrews 10:36 says, don't worry, you may have need of insurance so that when you've done the will of God, you will receive what was promised. So God is faithful to fulfill his plan. God is faithful to keep his promises. Now, this is one reason you can keep going, because you know this. Here's the third one. He is faithful in the time of temptations. Now, is any of us in this last week, any of us tempted to do wrong? Anybody? If were you tempted to do wrong? Anybody? Okay. So how do we deal with that? Because you know we live in a fallen world, right? We're going to see it in Sunday morning. When we get to Sunday morning, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2. And in Ephesians 2:2-3, it says we walked according to this world. We walked according to the power of the devil. We walked according to the lust of the flesh. We live in a fallen world in which there's pulls all the time to do wrong. He is faithful in the time of temptations. I want to read this to you because I love the verse. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Listen to what this says. Most of you know it. He says, there's no temptation has overtaken you but such is common to man. Now sometimes you get tempted and you say, nobody's ever been tempted like this. Yes, people are tempted. In fact, who was tempted completely in every point? Who? Yet without sin. See, so nobody can say nobody's ever experienced this temptation, because Jesus Christ experienced all temptation. And he says, no temptation has overtaken you but such is common to man. And then he says this, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation provide the way of escape so that you'll be able to endure it. So he says that in the time of temptations, God will provide a way of what? Escape. We don't have to say, I couldn't help it. Now we may say, I couldn't help it. We may say that. But we don't have to, because in every temptation that comes our way, and let's all admit it, how many times have temptation comes our way and we failed? Has that happened? Okay, we don't have to fail though, do we? We don't have to, because he's faithful to say, in the time of temptations, I'm going to provide a way what? A way out, a way that you don't have to fall. I always think of Joseph, and here's Joseph in Egypt. Here's Potiphar's wife. He's a slave of Potiphar in Egypt, and his wife, Potiphar's wife, likes Joseph, and she keeps coming to him on a daily basis and saying, "Have sex with me, sleep with me." Now, that's pretty flattering for a slave, for the wife of the master to say, hey, you know, and he's going, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. What did he do when she actually got him alone? What did he do? He ran away. See, Joseph could say, this looks really bad, but God has a way out. I just got to get out of here. And I'm going to tell you what I've discovered is most of the time in temptations, the very best thing to do is what? Run out of there. Get out of there, because they're everywhere. They're everywhere. And when the temptations come, the very best thing to do is just get out, because it says he will provide a way. You know, so it's not beyond what we're able to handle, but provide a way out. That takes us to the fourth one, because sometimes we fail. Now, we've seen that he's working in our lives to bring his plan. He's there to fulfill his promises. He's there even in temptation. But what if in the midst of temptation, we don't make it? We fail. Do you know that there are a lot of groups teach that if you're a Christian and you sin, and they got different rules of sin, like this sin, like gossip, that's not very bad, but this sin over here is real bad. And so some groups will say, well, that's not too bad, but this is real bad. And they'll say that if you sin, and if you sin bad, guess what? You lose what? You lose your salvation. That's people who actually teach that. We know that you have what? Eternal life, and you shall never perish. So what happens when we sin? How is he faithful when we sin? Well, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So I want you to think about this, that even when we blow it, and every one of us in this room has blown it and will blow it, And now, the great thing about the Bible is that he actually says, you don't have to blow it. As Christians, we can live righteously and godly in the present age. We can live in the power of the Holy Spirit. We can walk in the Spirit and will not what? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. We can live righteously and godly. That doesn't mean we will. We can, but sometimes we don't. And he's faithful. Even when we sin, he's faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us. And let me tell you, the thing to do is to come straight to him and just say, Lord, I blew it. I blew it again. And see, sometimes we blow it over and over with the same thing, right? Who does that? Anybody do that? Is that just me? I mean, I do it all the time. I do the same thing over and over. And sometimes you might think that, okay, this is like the 800th time, right? And so you go to God and you want to say, this is the 800th time. And what you figure is he's going to say to you, listen, I've had just about enough. I mean, how many times do you want me to deal with this with you? You keep doing the same thing over and over. And every time you do it, you say, oh, I'm not going to ever do it again. And then you do it again, right? We think God's like us. He's going to say, that's about it. But he never does that. He's faithful and just to what? To forgive and to cleanse. He is amazing. So when we think about living for Christ, we said he's faithful. He's faithful. I think I've got it right there. He is faithful to carry out his plan to make us like Christ, to bring us to himself. He is faithful to keep his promises. And the one that I wanted to highlight was the promise of eternal life, because people get confused on that. He is faithful even in temptation not beyond what we can handle, but give us a way out. I think we just kind of put it all together there. He's faithful. And he's faithful even when we sin, to forgive and to cleanse. So the first thing I want you to see is God is faithful. So what about us? Well, we got to keep going then. And I came up with four things for us just to think about as we start a new year. Since we know God is faithful to fulfill his plan, God is faithful to keep his promises, God is faithful in the times of temptation, God is faithful even when we sin. So what about us? What should we do? Well, here's the first thing. Don't quit. Because we're being renewed spiritually every day. We're being renewed spiritually every day. Listen to this. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, do not lose heart. Though our outer man is what? Decaying. Our inner man is being renewed day by day. Physically, we're wearing out. Spiritually, we're being renewed. He's helping us grow. Let me ask you a question. How can your spiritual part be renewed and grow? How? Through what? Okay. What does Paul say? He says, I beseech you, brother, by mercy to God, to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, with your spiritual service of worship. Stop being conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? How do you get renewed spiritually? Through the Word of God and maintaining that fellowship and relationship with Jesus Christ. He says, listen, you don't lose heart. Don't quit. There are Christians, look, there are people, I've seen it year in and year out in our lives, that there are people who get all excited about Christ. They may have been Christians for 5 years, 10 years, and all of a sudden they get all excited about Christ, and they're excited for about 3 months. Sort of like working out at the exercise room. They get there and they get all excited, and then they just fade right on. Listen, don't fade. Remember, we're being renewed every day. He says, don't lose heart, but even though our outer man is decaying, and some young people don't understand this. Older people understand this. Older people, is it wearing out? Everything's wearing out. Everything hurts. You can't jump, you can't run, you can't do the stuff you used to do. Or if you do, then you don't do it the next day, right? But even though the outer part's wearing away, he's renewing the spirit. We can't quit, y'all, because he's conforming us what? To the image of Jesus Christ. That's his plan. His plan is to bring things into our lives that we trust him, and we grow, and we study the Bible, and we make application, we live in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we are being changed day in and day out. So don't quit. Second, are you ready for this one? Don't quit, because he's going to reward us. He's going to reward us. Galatians 6:9, don't lose heart in doing good. Why? For in due time, we shall reap if we don't grow weary, if we don't quit. Listen, there are some Christians that when they stand before the judgment seat of Christ, which is the rewarding stand, they're going to be embarrassed. Because they're going to know that if they would have just stayed faithful, if they would have just kept on keeping on, if they would have just served God instead of quitting and fading by the wayside, they would hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But 1 John 2 says they may be ashamed at his coming. The goal for all of us in this room is that when we stand before Jesus Christ, we hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And the only way we can do that is don't quit. Keep on going on, because one day when you stand before him, he's going to say, "Well done." Don't lose heart, for in time we will reap, we will have rewards. 2 Corinthians 5:10, we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be rewarded, to be recompensed for the things we've done in this body. So don't quit, because one day you're going to hear him say, "Well done, well done." And so we can't quit, because it's easy. You know, most of you have been involved in sports and things, and you think about practice, and nobody likes practice. Nobody, coaches don't like practice. Nobody likes practice. But you have to do it, and you have to do it so you can get good, and you have to keep doing it. And you have to do it over and over and over and over and over again to be good. And then the Christian life is the same way. You keep trusting God, living by the Bible, getting up every morning saying, "I want my life to count for you. I want to be found faithful. Wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, I just want to do whatever you have for me," and just keep on keeping on. Because the key, it is required of stewards to be found what? Faithful, not famous, not successful in the eyes of the world, but faithful in God's eyes. So don't quit. He will reward us. There's a third thing. Don't quit because he's training us. He's training us. Now, this more is more like the coaching aspect. Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. "Have you forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you? My sons, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord." The word discipline, now we think it means he's going to spank you. No, this word means training. If when I coached football or when I coached track, and I'd go to the guys and I'd say, "Okay, track guys, you guys are quarter milers. What I want you to do today is I want you to run 6 300s. We'll time you, you'll run it, you'll walk around, you'll run it again." That's training. That is no fun. It's discipline. It's not because they did anything wrong. It's because we're trying to get them ready to do what they need to do. And God brings things in our lives, not because we did something wrong, but so we'll trust him to do what he wants us to do. So we can't quit, because really, when the things come into our lives, listen to this, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. Don't faint when you are reproved by him. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines." He's not saying, when you've done wrong, I'm going to jump on you. He's saying, no, I'm bringing things into your life to train you, to make you stronger, to help you grow. All of us in the last couple of years have had all kinds of things which we had to trust God for. And we say, "Boy, that wasn't fun at all." No, it wasn't fun at all. But we should have grown through these things. We should grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. So don't quit, because he's training us. He's turning us to be more and more like Jesus Christ. So he's renewing us. He's rewarding us. He's training us. Here's the last one I came up with for today. Don't quit, because he's the one that gives us the strength. He's the one that empowers us. He's the one that strengthens us. We don't quit because it's not us. It's him. Isaiah 40 verse 30 says, "Those who wait upon the Lord will rise up like eagles, not be weary, and grow faint." He's the one that supplies the strength. When you say, I just don't feel like doing something," it's not your feelings. Let me just say this. In life, and this is whether it's dealing with something to do with Christian stuff, just living for the Lord, your job, school, anything, we cannot live our lives based on our feelings. Because feelings come and go all the time, and feelings change. And let me tell you, when the alarm goes off, I never feel like getting up. Never feel like getting up, but I get up. Because, he said, listen, don't quit. It's his strength through us. It's not how we feel. It's what we do in his power. You remember John 5:15? Apart from me, you can do what? Apart from me, you can do nothing. Philippians 4:13, in Christ you can do all things. So it's his power through us, and apart from him, we'll never be able to do anything. In Christ, we can do all things. And so, when we think about this whole study, think about what he's doing for us. He renews us. He helps us grow spiritually. He rewards us as we serve Him. He is training us, preparing us to be His instruments. He is strengthening us, giving us the power to serve. And so as we think about a new year, and it's always, I like New Year's, because when I start a new year, I usually get a new, a little book that I write stuff in, and I write down my prayer list and those things. And I usually start it at the start of a year, because it's like fresh page, and you write down things, and you say, I'm not praying for them anymore. No, I'm not. And no, you put down who you're going to pray for, and you do all that good stuff. I like New Year's because it's another time to begin. We all need times to start over, right? We all mess up. We need times to start over. It's great to say, hey, start over, man. Just go. Don't forget about that stuff. Go on. And so He's renewing us. He's rewarding us. He's training us. He's strengthening us. So as we think about starting over, think about God being faithful. He's faithful to what? To fulfill His plan, to bring us to Christ, to make us like His Son, to keep every promise that He has. And you can think of any promise that you can think of in the Scripture that's for you. Now be careful, because listen, how many people know Isaiah 29:11? You ain't know it? I know the thoughts I have for you and the promises for you and all that. That's not to us. It's to the nation of Israel. He basically tells them, listen, if you'll turn back to me and do what I have for you to do, I have great things for you. I'm going to bless you and protect you. If you don't, I'm allowing the enemy from the north to come in and destroy the land. They didn't turn back to God. Isaiah 29:11, they did not turn back to God. He allowed the Babylonians and the Assyrians to come in and take them. So when you pull out Isaiah 29:11, just remember, it's not written to you. That's written to the nation of Israel. Now, I guess you could try to make an application out of that, but it'd be probably better to go to some promises that are directly to the body of Christ and make applications. So He fulfills His plan. He keeps His promises. He provides for us in the time of temptation. And even when we fail, He deals with our sin. So what do? Let's not quit, knowing what? That He's renewing us, that He will reward us, that He trains us, that He empowers us.